Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Subscription box service.
You okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Wake up, dude.
I'm fine. For and gamer items and pop culture. What, dude? For less than $20 a month.
What's with you?
Nothing is with me.
You're pissed at me.
I'm not pissed at you.
Don't take it out on the ad.
Because this is an amazing company. It's an amazing product. It's LootCrate.com. What is Loot Crate? Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over.
Boom, baby.
So make sure to head to lootcrate.com/ifireyou. Enter code ifireyou to save 10% on any new subscription. They ship to Canada. They ship to Australia.
Woo!
They ship to the UK.
Oh,
they
no.
ship to Virginia.
What?
They ship to Florida.
Why?
They ship to, they ship to Canada.
Quit it.
There's
too much shipping.
It's not enough. The dam's going to burst. So yes, do check them out. That address again is lootcrate.com/ifireyou and enter code ifireyou to save 10% on any new subscription. Now, this episode was a doozy. I can't wait till you guys listen to it. Things actually got real. You're going to love it. You're going to hate it. You're going to fall somewhere in between. Later, guys.
Jake and Amir, and they're going to be here, and they're going to say, hey, and they're going to say, wait.
You got to listen to our show. You got to listen to our podcast, yo.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, then pay attention. Step one, kill yourself in a Starbucks.
Step two,
if you're new, you got to turn this off because we only roll with our day one.
Step three, help me, bro. I want to do this chick. I need some advice from the legendary Pinch.
The Pinch. And Amir.
They're going to tell you what to do. This is If I Were You.
Whoever said girls can't rap was right. What was
How
that
dare
garbage?
You?
What was
How
that
dare
garbage?
You? That was
what
adorable.
What was that garbage?
No. Yo, I love step one, kill yourself in a Starbucks.
Step two.
There is no step two. You're dead.
I loved it. I want to listen to more from Enna and Sarah.
Yeah.
Thanks, girls, for sending
Shout out the Pinch. Throw your crab claws up.
Your what?
Throw your claws in the air. Pinchy pinch. It's a cinch to pinch.
When we do our show in London and Manchester, you should come out in a lobster costume.
Oh, my God. I want there to be a whole group of people in the front row with oh, man, we should get lobster claws.
That or lobster be the new, bibs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Lobster bibs for the pinch.
Throw the lobster bibs, but it's throw your crab claws out? It's all the same bib.
I guess we should just say throw your claws out. That's what it is. Throw your claws up. Because it's like lobster claws, crab claws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the entire internet.
He's Amir.
Hosted
by... Oh, fuck. I'm always early. So anyways, dude, let's do it again.
All right. Well, now what's the point? I feel like you already fucked it up.
I thought you were going to edit this.
Oh, no. We're keeping it. Yeah. The only podcast on the internet hosted by us. And you missed it. Too late on that one.
I don't want to do this anymore.
The intro or?
Just being with you.
What?
Done. What? No, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead. Here it is. This time we're going to nail it.
Hey, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us.
He's Amir.
And I'm Jake.
No.
People send us emails, and they're in a difficult place in their lives, too. ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And we read these emails and try our best to advise them out of their sticky situations.
Ta-da!
What is there else to say?
I don't think there is a thing else to say. I think we just jump right in.
All right. Head first. Here we go.
Who is this from?
Okay. Oh, we need a couple of ladies. There's a lot of ladies on this today's show. So we need three ladies. We need ladies' names, basically.
Wow, cool. And we also had lady intro. I hope we have a lady outro. This is our Sadie Hawkins podcast.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Just... Shouldn't have promised. You overpromised, and I have to underdeliver.
I'm sorry.
So this first one, this lady who wrote this email.
Let's have them all be first ladies.
Oh, I was thinking about that. We'll call her Eleanor Roosevelt.
Perfect.
Eleanor Roosevelt, right. And this is the first lady. The first lady, I guess that would be technically Martha Washington, which would be the first
lady. I'm getting
lady.
Bored. Just go. Don't talk to me about history. Don't talk to me about math. If it has to school, if it has to do with school, then you're a fool.
You have an awful attitude.
Yeah, well, you have an awful ratitude. You're a cool dude.
So you didn't go to school, so you don't know what words mean.
Yeah.
Don't need to. Hey, guys. My boyfriend of 7 months and I are very much in love, but one major thing has been bothering me recently. Often when I express that I want him to do something that is important to me, like write something in my yearbook, come to a family party, or even just take me out and pay for a meal, he rarely follows up or argues that I shouldn't want him to do something that he doesn't want to do. I don't want to force him to do anything, but I also do things I don't like a lot because I know it will make him happy. So my question is, where is the line drawn? Is it selfish to hope that he will do things just because he wants me to be happy? And to what extent is it fair to expect someone to do things they don't like for you? Thanks for your help. Love, Martha Washington / Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, that question depressed me. I guess the line is, it's definitely before signing your yearbook.
What does that mean?
Just like, where's the line? Like, what should I reasonably expect him to do? Yeah, he can sign your yearbook. That's not out of the realm.
Just imagine him playing Xbox like, babe, I don't want to freaking sign your yearbook. Damn it. Man, you fucked me up. Okay.
Relationship is about me being happy.
Oh, you shithead. That's him talking on the headset. You shithead down in front, shithead. Sorry, babe. What? Can you just sign my name?
Xbox.
Can you just freaking sign my name? You don't want to make me do
here,
shit that I'm unhappy
I'll
about.
I'll dictate it to you. To whoever. Hags love me.
Hags.
Have a great summer.
Love me indeed. What about all that other stuff?
This guy sounds like a shithead.
Yeah. He shouldn't, if he doesn't want to do it, he definitely shouldn't say, stop making me do shit I don't want to do.
Right.
He should just do it anyway.
You shouldn't make me do things that don't make me happy. That's definitely not true in a relationship. There's an ebb and a flow of giving and taking and doing and being sacrificial and selfless and then also accepting love in the same gracious way. It's not all one-sided, like he never does anything that doesn't make him happy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay, how about this? You're going to hate this, but just to put it in a pie chart, there's 100% of things you do
I'm
in a
tolerating
relationship.
Tolerating it because I'm thinking of pie.
Okay, the whole pie chart is 100%, and then there are three segments. Stuff that you do stuff that you do and love, something that you do and don't love. I lost you. You want to maximize the percentage of stuff that you both love, but then there's also going to be slices that's, only she loves it or only I love it.
Right.
And you have to sacrifice part of your slice for some of hers.
And it also sounds like your boyfriend doesn't love some things that he should maybe love if you guys are going to be in a good relationship.
Yeah, like spending come time, to a family party.
Right, family party, signing your yearbook. What was the other one?
Taking me out to a meal and paying for it.
And I mean, I understand maybe he doesn't want to No, he should love that too. Taking you out on a date and treating you well, that's something he should love. So if these are things that he doesn't love, or at the, like, at least do happily. Like, it sounds like he's at the point where he's not even tolerating it, which is insane. Yeah,
he's putting his foot down.
I don't know how he got you into some kind of crazy dictatorship where only what he says goes and only what makes him happy is the norm. But that's not fair, and you don't have to stand for it. And you should just say, okay, well, you only do what makes me happy, and I'll do what makes me happy. And right now, it would make me really happy to tell you to fuck yourself.
No, I don't want to do that either, babe. So let's
fuck.
I'm using my third veto. Can someone who is concerned about yearbooks be very much in love?
Excuse me?
Can someone who deals with yearbooks, aka a high schooler, be very much in love?
I think when you're 16, you feel very intense emotions. And just because we, as people who are in their late 20s, early 30s, just because we can look back and be like, oh, I was foolish then, you can't look back and be like, oh, I didn't feel intensely. So, I think that she can be in love, and I think that the feelings she has are quite legitimate, and I think you might think she's small, but I actually think you're microscopic for putting that on her, for putting that on our listeners, for trying to condescend when we're supposed to be giving advice as a peer.
I didn't say anything. I just asked you if high schoolers feel the same love that you do.
Oh, no.
Those creatures, those rats... Those little rat
creatures.
They're
so base.
And I'm an acid. And they can't tolerate me. I shall annihilate thee.
I do think that this isn't going to be like your last relationship. So I think you should just... I think that, like, if it's not making you happy right now, move on. Have a great summer. Be single.
Hags, yo.
Hags. Yo, for real hags. Also, I just would like to say, just because I just said this is not going to be your last relationship, today is... my parents' anniversary. So I'd like to say, happy anniversary, Mom. You're the best. I love you. Daddy, you found a good one. You're not a good one, but you found a good one. You locked it down. And for that, I say, good job.
So, for your parents' anniversary, you say,
Congrats, Mom. You made it work. You made it last. You made a beautiful family. Not because of, but in spite of, our father. Thanks to his money, sure, that was good.
What are you talking? That was good. It's still happening, isn't it?
I'm glad that
Doesn't
my dad's
still
rich.
Pay for all your shit.
If honestly, my family would fall apart if it weren't for my dad's money and my mom's love.
Those are the two sides of it.
Those are the two solids. The two sides. Are you taking a fucking picture of me?
You look very unique right now.
But. They met in high school. They went to prom together.
So, yeah, I think they were in love.
Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible. But you guys got to work your shit out.
Yeah. I would say dump this dude.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Next question. We need a dude's name. Perhaps, what are those, the guys that marry the first ladies?
President?
Yeah.
Or a priest.
Nice. Millard Fillmore writes,
okay.
Hey guys, I'm 13 and I've been in a relationship for a month.
I just love that his name is Millard Fillmore. 13-year-old Millard.
I'm 13 and I've been in a relationship for a month and a week. At this point in my relationship, my girlfriend and I agree that we are drifting apart. What should I do? I would really appreciate your advice. Love, Millard Fillmore.
Oh, Millard. Shit, what do we tell him?
All right, well...
The truth?
Here's... Millard, open your ears, open your minds. Here's a heap and helpful of truth syrup. Firstly, at age 13, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the one.
This is real.
and it's going to take effort to. There's going to be a.
You have to fight for this.
There's going
to have to fight for her.
Yeah, of course you're drifting apart. You've been together for a month and a week.
Yeah, but you're going to just throw away that history, Millard?
No, you can't, because you can't start over at that point.
You can't.
What, are you going to find someone else, invest another month, another week?
A relationship is a tree. You want to chop down a redwood, Millard, and plant a sapling and watch that grow? No, there's not time.
You have no time for that. Nor should you have time for that.
You're invested.
So what do you do now? You're drifting apart. I would say force, fight, argue your way through this rough patch, regardless of how long
it lasts.
You
guys have to reconnect. I would consider therapy.
Couples therapy.
Yeah, because what are you going to tell your friends? How does it work when you split? Everyone will say, oh my God, I thought Millard and Millard's wife were the ones that were going to make it. If they can't do it, who can?
Yeah.
You guys have been together a month and a week.
And it's embarrassing to break up. It means you guys couldn't figure your shit out.
That's almost a month and a half.
Yeah, exactly. That's 5 weeks.
If you can't figure your shit out in 6 weeks, then gee whiz, Millard, who are you?
You might die alone.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a universe that Millard doesn't die alone because of this.
Man, we're talking about being condescending.
Have
we ridiculed a 13-year-old enough yet?
No.
He's a teenager.
He's already dead.
All we did was tease him for 5 full minutes.
He just stops listening and follows that fake advice.
I'm going to fight for this.
What are relationships when you're 13?
When I was 13, it was just like I would chat with my girlfriend on IM.
Yeah.
And we would pass notes to each other in the hall. And at the end of the day, it was like a big deal that you would hug your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It'd be in the hallway like, oh, I have to hug Lauren.
Did your school have an edict against hugs?
No.
At some point, I think it was even earlier, like in 5th or 6th grade, all the cool 11 and 12-year-olds would hug at the end of recess. And they got to a point where the teachers would be like, you guys can't hug because it just feels like the guys are trying to feel the girls' boobs on their chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had my middle school was like super Italian, so everybody was really into kissing like both cheeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was a pretty big deal like when you said bye to your girlfriend. And like when I remember like knocking on the door of the popular crowd in 8th grade. And,
the popular
like,
Italians.
Yeah.
And that would just family style pasta dinner
but
going
like,
on.
I went home from school one day and a girl at IM was like, you didn't kiss me goodbye today. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And then I was like, for a glorious week or two, I was like, kissing, I was greeting and saying goodbye at school, and just like all day, it was like 4 kisses. Like, fuck yes, dude. 4 times 2, 8.
That's 8 kisses.
That's 8 cheeks. All right. It meant so much to me.
It's funny. There's such a correlation between that group of people and what they turned into. Like, I was totally the guy that was too shy and afraid to do that and to hug people, and you were not. And it, like, you can still see that today, 20 years later.
Right. I'm still kissing people on the cheek.
I remember when going out started to be, I think it was in 3rd or maybe 5th grade, where guys would start asking girls out. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, and boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah. And teachers had to sit down students and be like, do you know what that means? Do you know what you can and cannot do?
Your school was way more like involved. Mine, we just went out and that was it.
Well, your principal had a fuck den, which I thought was a little much. Like little girls and
a
guys.
Cuddle pole.
Yeah. An experiment room where you locked themselves in there and be like, don't worry, nobody can see you. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Sexual stuff goes.
Sexual stuff pros.
How so?
It's that we're all pro about it.
I see. So what should this guy do?
I think with the real advice.
Do you break up if it's just this? Did you ever break up, or is it you just drift?
I remember I broke up with somebody in like middle school because like I found out she was gonna dump me. And I called her up and I was like, I don't want to go out anymore. And I was like, I needed to do it first because I didn't want to be dumped.
But then
a month or two later, we were like in music class writing notes to each other talking about how we'd broken up. And she's like, yeah, you dumped me. I was like, I did because you were going to dump me. And she's like, I wasn't going to dump you. And I was, and I felt dumb. So like, I don't think you should try to avoid any social stigma like that. I think the coolest thing you could do is have a real conversation with her and be like, hey, I feel like we're going apart. Do you Do you feel like that too? Or do you, because maybe sometimes, not maybe sometimes, I think occasionally people can go too far into their own heads and feel like they've grown apart while your girlfriend is just like happily going along thinking you guys are connected. So if you say we've drifted apart, she'll say, I agree, and confirm your fears, or she'll say, I feel close to you still. Let's work through this.
But if they both feel like they're drifting apart, maybe they shouldn't be together anymore.
Well, but yeah, that's true. And maybe if they're like, we're drifting apart, and he says, do you want to try to reconnect? Do you want to try to get close together again? Then you guys can talk and feel better about your relationship. Or you can say, you can agree to split amicably. But the coolest thing you can do is have a nice open conversation with her rather than thinking all these crazy thoughts and like not letting her in.
What about... I think the coolest thing you could do is when you're having this conversation, have your friend like take a, what's it called when you low bridge someone, like kneel down behind her.
Uh-huh.
So what you say, like, I think, I don't know if we're drifting apart or
if you're just falling apart and then you push her down.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, or ripping a fart. And then the kid underneath just lets one fucking rip, like a real grade A, like a scorcher. And then you shove her. And she
you
feels
shopper.
Yeah, she feels the sting and it hurts and it smells because she stinks. Don't you get it? She stinks, Maude. Just a senile grandfather giving you advice.
You didn't have a girlfriend in third grade.
In third grade, all I used to do is sniff glue through a tube and play Rubik's Cube.
Eminem.
Yeah. Nice, dude.
Nice.
22 years later, I'm as rude as you, scheming on the babe with the biggest boobs. Are you okay?
That's enough.
All right. Wait, was that the third question or the second? That was the second. All right. We got one more. Till the break of Dom. Baby, got it going on.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we need another lady.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama? Michelle Obama. Right. Hey guys, I'm in a great relationship with my boyfriend of 6 months. We're both relaxed, sociable people who like watching TV as much as we like trekking through the outdoors. So far, so good. Our relationship has gone very smoothly, except that he tends to be prejudiced towards certain people. FYI, in Canada, just like the States, we have First Nations people, along with a multitude of other nationalities. I realize stereotypes are commonplace, and people usually use them in a joking manner, but my boyfriend seems to truly believe some of them, and often his opinions of certain groups can be cruel. For example, that Aboriginals are lazy and collect government money, and that the percentage of Muslim extremists is higher than any other religion. He's such a mild-mannered guy, and so lovely to me, so why does he have these racist opinions? He is in the army and grew up in the conservative West, though as a person who is an ally of all humans, how should I deal with our differences? I don't want to force my own opinion and seem preachy and all, but I also won't stand for the rude generalizations about different cultures. But I really love this man. Help, what would y'all do?
There's nothing laid back. We're both laid back people. He's a racist.
That's the worst thing.
We're so laid back. We love watching TV, trekking through the woods. And he's racist. He hates groups of people for no reason.
He's pretty chill and fun-loving.
He's mild-mannered, but has bad opinions.
He tends to sort of snap judge people, minorities specifically, people of different color, and thinks negatively about them. Also, however, he is very chillaxed about most things.
I don't even like her language. I realize stereotypes are commonplace and usually used in a joking manner, like... Even that, no.
But she's right. Stereotypes are commonplace.
I don't think stereotypes are that commonplace.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
You know about them.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them commonplace. I think they're faux pas. I think they're uncommon enough that when you have them and when you make mean jokes and you have actual weird opinions about other groups of people that are negative, I think you're an outcast, and I think you're a loser. I think that the tables have turned in that direction.
She's being Aboriginal about this. Absolutely, she's being lazy, and I wouldn't doubt if she was collecting government money.
Jesus.
Handouts to the Aboriginals. How unoriginal.
I think you should talk to this guy.
What would you do if I guess you wouldn't date a racist. You would never even start a relationship with a racist.
Yeah, no.
That's a deal breaker. racism is the worst one.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. I think
he's great, but racist is not a real word.
There's got to be a zero tolerance rule on that. You can't be like, he's cool. That, like, he's cool, but he's racist. Nobody says that.
Right.
He's not cool, and he's racist.
But if he's
not
got,
cool because he's racist.
But if he's got everything else going on, maybe you can get in there and make him change his opinions.
Yeah, you know, why don't you...
Like, if you liked everything else about him.
I'd be super direct and tell him exactly what's up and tell him that's not going to fly. And maybe he'll change his mind on this stuff.
Yeah. Or...
dump him?
Be racist too?
Oh!
That way you have another thing.
Oh, that's an option!
Yeah, of
course. We're laying it all on the table. This podcast is called Every Option.
Dump him, talk to him, be racist too.
More options. Turn into a bird, fly yeah. into the sun, turn into a fish, swim into the sea. That's another option. Turn into a bird, swim into the sea, turn into a fish, fly to the moon. These are literally endless. This is a podcast that has no end. More options, more options. Turn into a sheep, fly into the sea.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You got to talk to him about his racism, I guess.
Talk to him about his racism.
I mean,
barring that,
I dated,
sheep moon.
I dated that neo-Nazi, remember?
Yes, he was cool.
Why couldn't it be a girl?
What's wrong with being
you
gay?
Sexist.
I'm not sexist. You're a homophobe.
We all have prejudices. They're so commonplace, I feel like. All right. Break time.
Break time.
Let's chill. Till the next episode, actually.
Boom, baby.
So we'll just relax until we release the next episode, which is in 4 days.
That's so relaxing.
Oh, first of all, there's going to be a Thursday episode this week.
That's cool.
Co-starring your sister. So that's a little teaser right there.
My little sister.
Secondly.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And now let me read the ad we were supposed to say.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, that was just a product that I just happened to really enjoy. Okay, here we go. Swastikas.
I was going to say swastikas.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we were talking about racism before, condemning it, and then I thought a funny thing would be to say we were sponsored by swastikas.
And...
Does that think that's why you made the joke, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're just going to say it. I said it. I was funny.
And I
make a funny joke, and you're like, I was going to say it. Were you going to say it, or were you just taking credit for my
joke?
Holy
shit.
What? I'm serious.
I was trying to show you that we're connected and with one mind, which was cool.
Oh, were you? Or were you going to be like, oh, whatever, if Amir says something funny, I'll say that I thought of it, too.
I wasn't.
So that you can co-opt my comedy.
I wasn't thinking.
And use it as your own.
I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry.
That's bullshit.
I'm sorry.
That's bullshit.
I'm sorry.
How did you mean it?
I meant it like I said I meant it.
I think you meant to steal it. Do you agree with me?
I really don't.
Can you say that you do? Can you say that I was going to steal whatever joke you thought of if I thought it was funny?
Maybe if you
don't,
feel
no,
like
no,
this
don't
way,
say it. Don't say like I'm sorry if I offended you.
I wanted to steal the joke. I wanted the credit.
Holy shit.
I couldn't have ever in a million years thought of swastikas. I thought it was gold. I chuckled. I chortled. And then I decided it was mine. I deserved it. I earned it. And I stole it from you.
You loser.
I am.
I am one. We're going to London. And now we're also going to Manchester. For the first time in a long time, we're going to Manchester United. I'm on the going. Shit. All right. Start over. Okay. Hey, yo. We're going to the Chester, man. We're going to buy a fan because it's really hot and humid in the summer. We're going on Tuesday, September 8th. It's going to be really great. No, it's actually the 9th. Tuesday, September 9th. Tuesday, September 9th. Oh, no. What rhymes with 9th, Jake? Thoughts?
Yo, what rhymes with 9th? A million things. Like the word I just made up called plinth. Plinth rhymes with 9th. So does the word steinth. It's another word
just,
I made up.
Just made
that
up
means
words.
Titty.
I do any real words rhyme with 9th?
Oh, yeah, dude. Check it. Hit me.
What?
What words rhyme with 9th? What words rhyme with 9th? Lots of little words. For instance, they are... Glinth. It's a Spanish word.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Glinth?
Glinth.
No. There's no TH in Spanish.
It's a Norwegian word.
We're going to Manchester on Tuesday, September 9th at the Lowry. Smaller shows, so grab your ticket. Once again, it's like that early show is the sketch and stand-up show that we do with Streeter, and the late show is a live podcast. Still tickets available for the London, and now we added a date in Manchester. So all you northerners don't have to come all the way down to London.
Boom, baby.
I guess you're welcome.
Yeah.
I feel like you're welcome. Do you
you're
still
welcome.
Say that? Okay, you're welcome. Should we get to the last question?
Okay.
We need a dude.
A duty. Nice. A duty. We need a little poopy.
I'll think of it.
Oh, come on, dude.
I'm going to unplug your microphone.
Please don't.
I need a voice. Otherwise, I fear this podcast will be too lopsided. The most forgettable president. You ready for this? Try to name one more obscure than this guy right here. Ready? Franklin Pierce.
Very, very forgettable.
That guy ran our country.
Wow.
You couldn't even fucking think of him in a million years.
When was it?
1964, if you can imagine.
What?
Yeah, it was in between Kennedy and Nixon.
Not so.
He got us out of Vietnam. Here we go. Hey, guys. You seem to have a pretty laid-back lifestyle where you seem to be having fun with what you do and be able to work on something that you're passionate about. So as someone who's about to graduate college, what would you tell them on how to take advantage of life in your 20s? How would you describe what your personal journey was like and if there are tips or things to keep in mind as we go through our 20s?
I have had internships in various corporate environments, and it just seems depressing to give up the freedom slash carefree attitude one generally has during college. I have also not found anything yet that I'm truly passionate about. So in terms of the generic follow your passion advice, at this point, I don't have anything like that. I don't know how to best phrase this question, so you can edit it however you'd like. Apologies for the run-on sentences. Thank you, Franklin Pierce.
I do love using presidential names because, like, help me, I need advice. A guy who became the president, who didn't need any help from us ever.
No passions, eh?
No passion.
Sounds like step one is to find it.
I would say so.
Yeah. Step two is to pursue it. Although you can't really do that for money. I feel like what the common theme is doing what you like for free long enough, and if you're good, you start getting paid for it.
Yeah.
But then you run into the situation where you try it a lot.
And well, then, what was your journey like?
My journey, I was very lucky, so it's not entirely applicable, but my journey was like, oh, in college, when I was 19, I liked college humor. So I was like, can I write for you guys? I emailed Ricky, and I asked if I could write for them. And I guess it's this advice, because for 3 years, I would write articles, not for money, but just to, like, you know, try to become better. And hopefully, in one day, they would be able to pay me. So after 3 years of writing articles for free, both for myself and for other websites, in addition to college humor, when College Humor did get money, they wanted to hire me, even though it wasn't a lot of money, but it was still getting paid to do what I liked.
Right.
So, but in that way, I was passionate about something, which was writing jokes or writing comedy.
Yeah.
What was yours early 20s journey like?
Very similar to yours. I also read College Humor, liked College Humor, started writing for College Humor. Became an intern at College Humor.
For free?
For free.
Didn't get paid.
Right.
So how'd you pay rent when you moved to the Upper East Side at age 22?
I had a little bit of money saved up from working in the ice cream store.
Right.
My sister, Hannah, did the coolest thing she's ever done for me.
Oh, that standing backflip.
Yeah.
That was insane.
She did the standing backflip and then wrote me a security deposit and a rent check for my first month.
Oh.
In that apartment. She paid for my rent. And then
Did you ask her?
No. She just, like, I was trying to move to the city. I was trying to save up money. And she, like, was helping me find apartments. And we had found, like, a really good deal. But my dad was, like, not to, like, he was right. Because I had, like, failed out of college. And
right.
I had, like, failed at everything I tried to do. So he was like, I don't want to pay for you to live in New York City right now. Why don't you keep this internship and commute and prove to me that you... But I had been doing that for, like, a month. And it was just getting really, really hard. So my sister was like, I'll pay for his first month's rent. And then I started working in, like... I was, like, a host at a restaurant on the Upper East Side.
Really?
Yeah.
When you were working at College Humor?
Yeah.
You were a host at a restaurant?
The Upper East Side.
What a loser. I didn't realize you were such a loser.
And then, but I only had to do that for like a month. And then Streeter and Ricky started paying me.
Which is a common route, which is like doing a job you don't necessarily love to have the financial freedom to do what you do love on the side for free.
Right. Which is something I was thinking of as you're reading that question. Because like, it's one thing to say I wasn't passionate about everything I was doing as an intern at College Humor. I just had, you have like a very small passion of, you were saying you were writing, just writing jokes. And after a while I became passionate about Jake and Amir videos, but we only did that for like an hour a day, if that, at that time.
Right. It's not like you were working 12 hour a days on Jake and Amir videos.
Right. So for a while I think you have to dedicate a lot of time to things you're not crazy about. And then a little bit of time to what you're passionate about. And I think in terms of finding your passion, you should look at what you do in your spare time and your hobbies.
What if it's just video games?
Then explore that universe. Be like, hey, maybe I could be maybe I could go into marketing for video games. Maybe I could program video games. Maybe I could design video game boxes. Maybe I could invent video games. Maybe I could go on tour with like gamer conventions and help set up the events, and then my life is surrounded by video games all the time. Maybe I could just become the best Halo player ever and win tournaments.
But what if your hobby or your passion is something lame, like being a chef or helping kids?
Then I think you're fucked. I think you should look at, try to, like, play video games more.
Yeah, and then do that thing that you were talking about, inventing video games.
Yeah.
And designing video game boxes.
Well, I there's so many jobs out there, and people just need to be, like, creative and try to think of...
Yeah, when people tell me what jobs they have, when I talk to normal people who have real jobs, it's always jobs that I never even thought of. Like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I work at this endowment at this school, and I have to do this and this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that job has to exist. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, what do you do? Oh, I work at a hospital, but I'm not like a doctor. I'm like, I do this, and I sell this.
I help schedule people. I help schedule when doctors come in.
Right.
Oh.
Right, of course.
They would need that.
Yeah. So find a job that doesn't make you miserable, or even if it does, hopefully you make a lot of money, or enough money, to become financially free enough on the nights and weekends to do or explore what you're passionate about. And if you're good at it, then somebody will find a way to pay you for it eventually, I feel like.
Boom.
Okay, that's it. We're out of time. We're more than out of time. Thanks so much for emailing, everyone. The email address, again, if you have your own questions, is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Still opening and closing every episode with an original theme song. The first one was from someone named Enna and Sarah, and this last one is from someone named Sam, who sort of did a is it still a montage if it's audio?
It's a medley, I think.
Yeah, a medley of every time we had a guest on the show. So thanks, Sam, for that. Thanks for you guys. And we'll be back on Thursday. Thanks so much, Mike.
This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake.
So we're here today with a very special guest, Allison Williams. It's Ricky Van Veen. Streeter Seidel.
I'm Emily.
Patrick _ Castle.
We're joined today by Jake's mom, Laura. We're here with Jake's little brother, Micah.
Hey, we're here with Ben Schwartz.
Yeah, we're back with Ben.
And I'm cool.
Hey, Thomas Middleditch is here.
Hey, Josh Rubin in the hand.
Ow.
Rose MacGyver.
Jeff Rosenberg.
Dave Rosenberg on.
And Rick Fox. And also Kyle Fox.
It's extra insulting because his name is Dennis.
ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
That was short and bad.
What's going on? I'm Brody Jenner.
I am Dr. Mike Dow.
We are inviting you guys to come check us out. It's the Brody Jenner Podcast with Dr. Mike Dow.
It is a fresh take on life's biggest dilemma, love.
You got Dr. Mike Dow, who's a couples therapist. You got me. I'm not the best, but I do a pretty good job. We'll have a different celebrity guest each week joining the conversation with us.
We are serving nothing but love and relationships on the Brody Jenner Podcast.
Go download it every Thursday at podcastone.com. That is podcastone.com. We'll be right back.